On last week's programme, I mentioned the spring equinox, following which we got an intriguing letter from a farmer, Leo Layden, on the Maharau Peninsula in Sligo. He said that there is a dolmen on his farm that 20 years ago he realised lined up with the rising sun on both the spring and autumn equinoxes. And what's more, it would have given those Neolithic farmers an exact way of marking the beginning and the end of the growing season. I often reflect, he wrote to us, that 6,000 years later that the fundamentals of what I'm doing raising suckler cattle and what they were doing back then are the same in so many ways. A 6,000 year old farming calendar in the shape of a portal tomb still on a farm in 2025. Well, this we had to see for ourselves. But before I could get all Indiana Jones, I had to run the gauntlet of Leo's flock of geese guarding the way.
The reason I have them, I like them. I'm here on my own, I'm widowed. They break the monotony. They're always squabbling, they're hierarchical, they're just interesting. So as you can see here, there's a panoramic 360 degree view from just about where the tomb is.
They really chose their spot well, didn't they?
Exactly. Ben Bulman again in front of us, sitting majestically. The Glencare Valley, yeah. Knocknarea, Sleeve League, in the other direction, where the peninsula is jutting out between Donegal Bay and Sligo Bay.
So panoramic is the word. They did choose their spot.
You're looking at a portal tomb. They're referred to as dolmens, it has other names like that, but the technical term used for this portal tomb. So what we're looking at is two standing uprights, like two round pillars outside the front door of a big house.
One of the two stones at the front is the most enormous lump of quartz. That's not a mistake, is it?
That's the most important stone, and that it reflects light on it. The sun, every equinox, the sun rises in Glencare Valley. Like a male symbol, and the valley is impersonating female symbolism. So it's impregnating the land and providing fertility. As the sun came up through the valley, right on the astronomical equinox, and it hits this quartz as it rises and it just illuminates it. It's very bright white here really? In the morning, yeah. Okay.
Whatever these were for, whether they were for burial or they were communal gathering points or as calendars, they're also farming tools, aren't they?
This certainly was a farming tool because on both equinox during the year, spring and autumn, the sun rises in that valley directly in relation to the tomb, right? That really told them that was the start of spring.
Because from that moment on, from the moment that that quartz rock lights up, the grass growth will start to improve.
The grass growth certainly does start, but once it happened again in the autumn, it was the ending of the grass growth as such, and they were preparing to get their stock more sheltered ground and all that for the winter.
Where are we? What is this place called? What does the name mean?
The Maharau Peninsula. And that's another thing gives me great pleasure in that it's named after a goddess or a princess, Awa. E-A-B-H-A, Father. And Awa is reputedly one of the first settlers in Ireland, and she came along with a lady called Césaire. Three boats of them, two boats got lost, and one boat survived with only one man on board, Vinton.
I remember now.
Césaire was either the daughter or the granddaughter of Noah. Noah said, there's no room on the ark for you, missus. You'll have to head for the most westerly point in the world and take shelter from the flood there. I had always thought, I don't want to fall out with you, but I thought that it was Bantry that Césaire had landed in and not in Sligo.
There are two places in Ireland where she's reputed to have landed, and one of them is on the Maharau Peninsula, the other one is in Bantry.
Césaire arrived with 49 other women. Whatever the truth of it is, wherever she did or she didn't land. This is about how we explain society to ourselves, these myths. So do you think that this was an explanation of what must have been a matriarchal society?
I do. And I think that maybe during the Stone Age, we had a maybe more matriarchal society where it was women that were in control. The fact that the female survived and that only, it's reputed that only one male survived, maybe gives more to that matriarchal society, that it was female dominated, not just males were just maybe for
procreation. Well, wasn't one of them supposed to have been so exhausted that he ran off into the sea and turned into a salmon?
Fenton, I think, was his name.
Exhausted, the poor fellow.
Yes.
Is there something female about this landscape?
Well, I suppose females give life, to sustain life, to bring us to adolescenthood, and then we're supposed to make our own way. Land, I suppose, does the same, that you have to look at it more from a female point of view, that it gives life, it sustains the cattle, which sustain us through milk and fodder and all and meat.
I'm getting a sense from you that you think perhaps a return to a matriarchal order wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world.
It certainly wouldn't. My grandmother was a tremendous worker. Both my grandmothers, they reared big families on very little. My mother, my mother-in-law, all it really they built their own families. When my dad was a great worker as well, but he had a tough enough life. He was the only boy. He had nine sisters. The only boy out of 10, and he was adored by his mother, adored by his sisters, and that was certainly a hard act to follow.
Leo Layden there on the Mara Peninsula in Sligo. Now, there is a postscript to this that is the most unbelievable coincidence. You heard Leo say there how he believed that the mythology of Cesar and the first people to inhabit Ireland was that they had landed in his part of Sligo and that one of them may be buried under that portal tomb in his fields. Well, I visited him on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, as you've already heard earlier on in the programme, I was in Bantry in Dunamarck Falls when Claire O'Sullivan of wasi.ie said this to me.
Very, very special spot. Very special spot. It's where legend has it that the first people that arrived into Ireland sailed in here into Dunamarck Falls, and it was the granddaughter of Noah and the Ark fame. There you go.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
The other story on this week's programme comes from the part of Sligo where the same woman is also reputed to have landed.
Don't believe a word they say. Nonsense.
First off, isn't that the most cork response to anything that you've ever heard? But what are the chances on two consecutive days at opposite ends of the country that I pitch up not just on the two peninsulas claiming the first people in Ireland landed there, but the two exact landowners. Who, I think you might ask yourself, is factually correct about Noah's granddaughter and her boatload of women and one utterly exhausted man coming to rest on their land? I know some of my more pedantic colleagues at the moment are trying to start a row about whether a female sheep is a ewe or a yo. It's a yo, people. But this is the row, I think, that we should be getting stuck into this summer. Where did the first people to inhabit Ireland first set foot? Was it in Bantry? Was it in Sligo? Was it in Portmarnock? Was it in Tramore? Was it at the 40-foot? Salt Hill, where do you think it was? 51551 or 0870 32 32 32 is our newly minted WhatsApp number. Countrywide at rte.ie. Because we do love to receive an email, as we did from Leo Layden there.